This morning, over the last several days, my heart has meditated on just the fundamentals of our great faith. Just how God's grace and our response in faith work together. And I would just like for us to reconsider some of these very basic fundamentals. Sometimes it is God's mercy to so simplify something, to bring it into the light that we can see its beauty in how simple it really is. We understand already, Ephesians chapter 2, that it's by grace you are saved through faith. Now notice it didn't say by faith. Let's clarify that. We're not saved by faith. We're saved by grace through faith. And to make sure we understand that, let's cover that just a little bit. What is grace? Grace is God doing on his own what we could never do on our own. It's God doing on his own what we could never do on our own. He created the earth on his own. He sent forth his son on his own. He provided redemption and atonement on his own. He established a church on his own. God did this. This is his grace. So we are saved by grace through faith. So what is faith? Faith is our response to grace. The grace, God brings his grace. God's grace was given to mankind through Jesus Christ. And God brought awareness of this grace to us through publishing it. He published what he did. And how he did that is he published what he had done through the good news. Do you realize that the gospel, we talk about the gospel, is just the word news and good put together. So when the gospel went forth, it was men that testifying to what God had done. They were sharing the news, the good news. The very word for preaching, keruxo, in the original language, was the process of a person coming into a public square and taking a position where many people could hear him, and he would announce the news. Here's the news. And people would gather around to hear what the news was. And in a way, you're the live studio audience, and I'm going to tell you what the news is. And it's good news. And they were proclaiming facts about what God had done. Some of the men were not only the reporters, they were the eyewitness. They were reporting what they themselves saw, just like a reporter, announcing to the people what they had actually seen, like John says, what we actually saw with our eyes, heard with our ears, and actually handled with our own hands. This is the news we are proclaiming to you. Now, all of us watch the news, many of us watch the news on a regular basis. What do you assume when you listen to the news? That they're telling you the... Can you assume that anymore? You know, there is some bias. We have to kind of deal with that. But these men, these first reporters of the news of what God had done, were proclaiming the news of what God had done, and it was called the good news. But not all of them were eyewitnesses. Some of them were just like an investigative reporter, like Luke. Luke was not there to witness the crucifixion of Christ or the resurrection of Christ. Luke's parents, grandparents, and his mother were dynamic Christians. They had come to faith, and he was raised in the faith. And when Paul met him, I believe it's on his second missionary journey, and I think it's Acts chapter 16. If you're reading through Acts and you get to chapter 16, you're going to see it goes from they and they and they to we. We and we And we, because that's when Luke joined Paul in the middle of the book of Acts. And then it became, the rest of the book of Acts became what Luke witnessed as an eyewitness. The first part of Acts, how did he get the information? And where did he get this information from for his gospel of Luke? Well, he was an investigative reporter and he interviewed people who were eyewitnesses and he wrote down their account of what they saw and heard and reported it. It's just, and here what we have the good news. And you know how we have it? We all have our own newspaper. And it's a big paper because it has news all the way from the beginning through the whole history of Genesis and the calling of Abraham and the work of God, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, who became Israel, and the 12 tribes of Israel who went down to Egypt, and the story of Joseph and how God delivered them through Moses and the Exodus, and they came through the promised land and took the promised land from the inhabitants there, and they established a kingdom of Israel with Saul and David and Solomon and kings to follow. It's all news. It's all news written down in a big, big collection of news. And there are men that declare the news. And is that how you treat it? It's news. It's not myth. It's not speculation. It's news. The prophets recorded the conditions of the people. They also recorded their personal conversations with God, and they reported it and recorded it for us. And we can actually read the news of what God has been doing from the beginning to what he fully accomplished when he sent his son. And God has chosen for salvation to come to each individual through the proclamation of the news. And another way of describing the good news is the truth. Because when God speaks, he's speaking what is true. The events in Genesis are true. The events in through the book of the law, Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, they're true. And Leviticus, these are truths. These are things that God said and God did. And through the history of the Old Testament, what we have is a record of what God did. And you and I can read it on our own. How many of you still get a newspaper? Okay, some of you do and some of you don't. The newspaper is a collection of many stories, isn't it? People reporting on things that they have looked into, some that they have seen with themselves, or some they're talking to the person that actually was there at the event. They process the information and they report it to you. They publish it. And so God has decided that he would bring salvation to the world by publishing the good news of what he accomplished in Christ to the world. And when the good news goes forth, we have a chance to respond to the news. Now, what is that response to the news? We respond in one of two ways. We either respond in faith. We either believe the news or we reject the news. We're not persuaded by the news. Faith, the Bible says in the book of Romans, faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the thing heard. That it's actually a noun. Faith cometh from hearing. Hearing is a noun. So what is the thing heard? The news. When people hear the news of what God has done in Jesus Christ, they have a chance to respond. And if they respond in faith, salvation comes to them because they have believed the good news, the truth. Now, some people are not clear on the difference between faith and belief. There's not a difference. So you don't need to be confused about that. Faith and is a noun. Believe is a verb. So you describe the act of believing as having faith. That's what believing is. Believing means you have decided to have faith. Hearing the news has produced faith in you. You trust the news. Another way of describing this is receiving. When you hear, if you believe the news, you can receive it. And there's two words in the scripture that describe receiving. One is to actually take with your hand, lambano. You grab it with your hand. Someone is offering something. How do you receive it? You reach forth your hand and you take it, and it becomes yours. Now you have it. If you believe the news, you take the news and you have faith. Now you received it. There's another word for receive that's not the taking of the hand. It is the word to welcome with your mind. It's interesting, both the heart and the mind are involved in our response. Because it's what Paul said in Romans chapter 10. I believe it is verse 6 and 16 and 17. It's in Romans chapter 10 for sure. But here's what it says. It is with the heart man believes unto righteousness. So faith is something that occurs in your heart. You believe with your heart. And it's also in this chapter 10 that Paul says, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth man confesses unto salvation. So it is with your heart you believe, but this word, this other word for receiving, welcoming, comes from the Greek word dokeo. Dekamai, it's the family of words, is the words to think. It's a large family of words, but this type of receiving involves your mind. You hear the news, and then you think about it. You think about what you've heard. And if you agree with what you've heard, if what you've heard sounds reasonable to you, you approve it. That's dokimazo. You certify it. This is true. So you receive it. You welcome it like a friend. Another way of putting it, you recognize it. I recognize this news to be true. I receive it to myself. So you either take it with your hand. Here's what it says in John 1:12. He came to his own, but his own did not take him in hand. Mm-mm. I'm not walking with you. His own received him not. That's lambano. They didn't receive him. But here's how he used the word dekomai, to receive, to think about, and welcome it with your mind, to approve of it in your mind. When he sent out his disciples, the 72 and the 12, he gave them this instruction. When you go to a town, look for a house that's worthy. Someone worthy means on the same plane. Because he doesn't want them fighting over the truth. He just wants someone that will just, you're there to bring the good news. If they welcome the news, it's worthy. You stay right there. If they receive you, they receive me. But if when you tell them the news, they do not welcome it. They think about it. They've heard it, and it, with their mind, they reject it. He says, go out of the city. Take off the shoes from your feet and shake the dust off. And then he says, verily, surely I tell you that it's going to be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for any place that does not receive or approve of the good news. And this is so critical for us to understand. Yes. all the things that Sodom and Gomorrah did, the immorality, the sensuality, the fornication, the homosexuality, the abuse of the poor, the pride, the lack of concern, the idleness, those are all things that are mentioned involving Sodom and Gomorrah's sin. All of that, God is willing to forgive. God's willing to forgive murder. God's willing to forgive rape. God is willing to forgive child abuse. God is willing to forgive theft and dishonesty. God is willing to forgive all that men do. As long as when they hear the news that he is willing and that he has chosen to provide forgiveness for them through his son, if they will receive that news, everything else that they have done will be forgiven. But if they refuse the good news, nothing will be forgiven. Do you understand how serious that is? So you have people in your life. We have people in our life. Where are they with the good news? It's not about what they're doing. It's not about the things that they're doing. It's where are they with the good news? That's a big subject, isn't it? Because it's faith in the gospel. This is another thing that's so important for us to grasp. God never said, if you simply believe that Jesus died on the cross, that's enough news. Men have oversimplified it into such statements. The good news involves from Genesis to the book of Revelation. Why did God choose Jesus Christ to be the author of salvation? The ruler of heaven and earth, the king of righteousness, is because Jesus Christ agreed with every word his Father ever spoke. So everything written in the Old Testament, the entire book of Leviticus, the entire book of Deuteronomy, the entire book of Numbers, everything God ever spoke through the prophets or through Moses, through Solomon, through David, through Asaph, Jesus was in perfect agreement with. And the reason God chose him is he loved righteousness and he hated lawlessness. And did you know that the good news includes that Jesus Christ is made King of kings and Lord of lords? And the good news includes that he will repay every man according to what they have done. He is going to judge the world in righteousness. And he will repay every man according to what they have done. And this is what Paul said in the book of Romans. If you want to see it, this is why judgment comes. Judgment does not come for the things that they have done before they have had a chance to hear the news. Judgment comes from their attitude towards the news. I want you to think about that. Judgment from God comes not for the sinful acts, the various ways that men sin. God is willing to forgive all of them. But he will hold every man accountable for his attitude towards the good news. Romans chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 5 and on. But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you're storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath. You see what's going on? Unrepentant. In other words, that means refusing to change your mind. So what happens when we hear the news? Faith comes from hearing. And hearing from the word of God. So when a person has heard the good news, God sends the news in order to change our minds. But what happens if we hear the news and we won't change our mind? We're storing up wrath for ourselves. Because that's the one sin that God will not forgive. You don't reject the good news and have forgiveness for all the other things that go on. He continues, God will give to each person according to what he has done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth, reject. What does it mean to reject the truth? Well, how does a person encounter the truth? How does God make sure that each person has a chance to encounter the truth? He publishes the good news. The good news of the gospel. This is the truth of the gospel. And what happens if a person rejects the good news of what God has done? Look what it says. But for those who are self-seeking, who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. Not because they killed someone. Not because they got drunk in accident and hit someone else and took a life in a car accident. Not because they gave into temptation and stole from their work. Not because they hurt someone in a fit of anger and rage. Not for those things. It's that when they heard the news being proclaimed, they rejected it. So they're going to be repaid accordingly. And it's interesting that Paul states those who out of self-interest. Why is it that some people reject the news? The same people who reject the good news of what God has done, listen to CNN. They accept that news. Or some of them watch Fox or MSNBC or CBS or NBC or ABC. They listen to news all the time. What is it that causes, Paul? What did Paul say? Why did they reject the good news? Out of self-interest. So I guess if you're living with someone outside of marriage, you don't want to hear the news about that God will judge the adulterer and the immoral. You don't want to hear that. Not because it's not true. It's not in your personal interest to hear that. And if you happen to be attracted to a same-sex partner, you won't want to hear the news that includes all the things that God said about he made male and female, he created them. And you won't want to hear the news that some men abandon the natural for the unnatural. You don't want to hear the news that God doesn't consider it natural. Why? It's not because it's not clear. It's you have personal interest. I won't accept that. You see, it's not even the act. It's not the act of same sex that brings a condemnation. God's willing to forgive that. It's rejection of his news. It's refusing to love the truth. And that is what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm going to read from verse 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 9. Chapter 2, verse 9. 2 Thessalonians 2, 9. The coming of the lawless one and lawlessness. Let's understand this about lawlessness. Lawlessness is a description of rejecting God's law. Lawlessness means you intentionally disregard God's law. That's what lawlessness is. So you don't live by God's law. You don't even agree with God's law. You don't order your life by it. You reject it. That's lawlessness. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. and they perish because, it says, they did not receive the love of the truth. The word received there is the thinking received, dekomai. They heard the news. They thought about the news. And they decided in their minds, no, I refuse to receive this. That's what Paul's describing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Why is God publishing the good news? Why did he raise up apostles, which mean all apostle means are reporters that he sent out? God raised up men, gave them the news story, sent them out as reporters to proclaim the news. But there were those who, when they heard the news, I don't agree. God sent it out to save them, and they refused the news that he sent to save them. For this reason, verse 11, God sends them something else. First, God sends the good news, and they refuse the good news. What does he send next? CNN? No. I'm sorry. The bias. No. What he sends next is a strong delusion. God sends a strong delusion. First, he sends out the good news, the truth of the gospel. But when you don't accept the good news, he sends a tailor-made news that's exactly what you want to hear. And you know what people want to hear? God loves you just the way you are. God's not against anybody. The entire favorite verse of the whole world is, judge not. Don't judge. There's a whole lot more in the news than that. Right? We understand? But when you reject it, when you thought we've heard the good news and you're thinking about it, and because it doesn't suit you, you've got some personal interest in it, you disagree, you reject it, you're not persuaded by it. Okay? God says, okay. I'll let you think your way is right. And then you feel good about yourself. And that is a form of judgment that so many people don't even recognize. People wonder, is God going to judge America? There's no greater judgment than God simply saying, okay, you don't want to believe the truth? Just go ahead and think your own thoughts. Do what you want. Live together. Don't get married. You'll stand before my son someday. Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, look, don't worry about me judging you right now. I didn't come here to judge. Jesus actually said that himself in the book of John. I didn't come here to judge you. He goes, but there is a judge for the one who rejects my words and doesn't believe them. See, he knew something. He never said anything on his own. The only thing he ever said was what he heard from his father. So he went on to say, there is a judge for someone who rejects my words and doesn't believe them. The very word that I spoke is what's going to judge him at the last day. Because I only say what my father gave me to say. And when my father speaks, heaven and earth will pass away. But his word will never pass away. You're not going to change one jot or one tittle. Jesus said, don't you think I've come to destroy the law of the prophets? I did not come to destroy them. Not a single jot nor a single tittle shall by any means pass from the law until all things come to be. Nothing is more certain that Jesus Christ will judge the world. And he's going to judge it by the words of his Father. It's not even his own personal judgment. That's why it's called he will judge the world in righteousness. And all it requires from us to be saved is that when we hear the good news, to respond in faith. To either receive it by reaching out your hand and you take it, and now it's yours. I believe. Or when you hear it and you think about it in your mind, you agree and you welcome it. You've received it. You've received the love of the truth, and you will be saved by that. You have get all with it. And this faith that comes from hearing the good news, we need to spend a little bit of time on this hearing. Hearing. I don't think we understand that very well. Hearing is more than just sounds, sound waves interacting with your eardrum and being passed to your brain. Hearing has to do with both ability and attitude. Some people don't have the ability to hear. They're deaf. They cannot hear. There's something broke in this wonderful mechanism of the ear and the nerves and in the center in the brain that takes sound and brings thoughts and ideas to life in our head. If they're not able to hear the truth, the good news can't penetrate them. Why do you think Jesus said this? He who actually has ears to hear. There are some people who don't even have ears for it. I don't want to hear a thing you say. Get this stuff out of my face. I'm not interested. I don't want to hear it. They don't even have ears. It's not even penetrating. They're hearing the sounds. They're hearing words, but it's not receiving. They're not welcoming it. They're not giving it any opportunity to work. Jesus described that in the parable of the sower. Do you remember the parable of the sower? It's in Matthew 13. It's in Luke chapter 8. It's in Mark chapter 4. And it is a parable about the different ways any of us can listen at any given time. It's a parable about hearing. The first soil, you remember, it's real hard. It said the sower went forth to sow, and the seed landed where? Right on the path where people's feet pack the dirt. And if you're walking on the dirt all the time, it's packed and it's hard. The seed doesn't even penetrate at all. It makes no difference. It's hard. Didn't hear a thing. That's the first time. And that's some people don't even have ears to hear. And it says, before they even understand, the evil one comes and snatches it away, and they're not impacted by what they heard at all. The second soil. They did a little bit of hearing. You know, Jesus uses the word dekomai. They receive. They heard the good news, and they thought about it, and they welcomed it for a while. For a season. The good news was good to them for a season. But then difficulties became because of the word. God's not pleased with your girlfriend. You should get married. Stop living with her. That's not good news. Nobody tells me what to do. You're calling me a sinner. You see that? So suddenly, the good news is not good. It's not because it's not true. Because now my own personal interest gives me a different attitude. See, it's not ability now, it's attitude. Now I don't like it. I don't like what I hear. And it's what it says. Jesus uses the word they depart from. They depart from the truth. They stand away. And you know what's interesting? Why is that so interesting? Because God is bringing the truth to them, and they have to back away. It's not him backing away. Isn't that beautiful? He brings the good news because he wants them to be saved. They're the ones backing away. They depart from the truth. And the Bible says in the last days, many will stand away from the faith. You know why they're standing away from the faith? Because of personal interest, they no longer accept the good news. That's why. The news hasn't changed. Something has changed in them. And there are people who were raised in this church, I know them, that no longer want to hear the news that they at one time received in this church, walked down this aisle, were baptized in that baptistry, and now they are standing away from what they heard, not because the truth has changed, their own personal interest has changed. Second type of soil. Third type of soil, remember that type of hearing? Hearing is when it says there was a soil that was sown among, it said fell among thorns. And here's what it says. The thorns sprang up. I was a gardener in Southeast Missouri a long time. And when I took my Troy built and I plowed that area, there were no thorns. At least I didn't think so. Because that tiller breaks them up down to, 4 to 6 inches. It depends on how many times you go through that soil that you can get out all those thorns that's growing there. If you go over it a bunch of times, they get good and deep, you break up a lot of them. But inevitably, it saves some of those roots. Or if it didn't get the roots, sometimes they've dropped their seeds already. And so even though my garden looked all brown and nice and my rows were neat, and for several months it looked that way, as long as I continued to go out there, and when I'd see these things that I didn't plant spring up, that were already there in the soil, if I sent my children out there, that's the honest truth, if I sent my children out there to weed and take care of the garden, as long as they kept chopping those weeds that would spring up, those thorns that would spring up, everything continued to look beautiful, just what I had planted. But as soon as you stop tending it, the weeds just spring up. they just spring up. And if you don't tend them, they not only spring up, they grow up. And it's interesting how fast those things can catch up with what you planted. They can catch up and take over. And Jesus called those things the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of this life, and the desire for other things. So now it's not hardness of hearing. It's not the fact that you were offended at something you had heard. Now it's, there's other things have come into your life. You've got other interests now. You've got other things you're enjoying. You're not as focused. You're not as single-minded. You've got some other interests that have grown up. You don't spend as much time in the truth in the news. You're not reading the newspaper. You're not reading. Now, some of you continue to come to get the news report. Today's news is, I'm the reporter. I'm giving you a little bit of news from heaven. You'll get the news now and then. But compared to all the other things you're listening to and watching and enjoying, what's the percentage? How much time are you spending in the good news and just other news? You see what happens? What did Jesus say? He's just describing something that's a reality. If you're not intentionally keeping other things at bay, they can just take over your life. And suddenly, the good news is no longer having the impact upon you that it once did. Jesus described it. That's a way that we can listen. And he describes this one soil, the last soil. It says that a man with a good and noble heart. Ooh. Let me say there's a key to that. There's only one way to get a good and noble heart, and that's when the news is already being working in your heart. You know, the Word of God is a cleansing agent. The Word of God cleanses the heart, and it makes wise the simple. And so this person has had, the Word of God is working. They have welcomed it. They're hearing it. They're receiving it. They're taking it in their hand. They're approving of it. And it says they seize it. It's katalambano. It's like they jump on it and grab it in such a way it's not getting away. That's what the Word describes. And that person produces fruit from hearing the good news. They stay in it, they hold on to it, and the good news does its work in their life. This mystery of hearing, let me give you an illustration from my own life, how that even right now, you're hearing my voice, but you may not be hearing a thing I say. How's that possible? Well, any of you ever tried to listen to the Bible on either cassette or you know, the other day on my way to here to church, I wanted to listen to the book of Amos. So I put my headphones on. I mean, I've got it right there to block out the rest of the noise. And I've got the news. I've got the good news pumping straight into the ear channel right there. Here's this, and turned it nice and in the, because I don't have air conditioner in my truck, so I have to roll my window down. So I have to turn it up quite a bit, and it's pumping the words of God right into my ear. And I'm not hearing a single thing because some other thought came across my mind, and I'm following it. And these sound, they're going on. And suddenly I realize I'm not listening to a thing. I'm not listening to the book of Amos. I'm listening to myself. How is that possible? We don't even understand life is that way. That you can be right here, hearing my words. The words are going in your ear, but you're following some other thought altogether. It's going in one ear and out the other. And let me tell you what Jesus said. You should be very careful how you hear. The way you listen makes all the difference in the world. All the difference. Because you just sit and you kind of go through the experience of the sound, but you're really kind of sitting there and you're following another entire train of thought. You didn't hear a thing. You just thought you did. Can you see how easy it would be for a person to deceive themselves? Lord, I was in church all the time. I listened to the preacher. Okay, what did he say? Had to do with the Bible. It was about Jesus. Old Testament, New Testament. We laugh. That's why I said hearing is not just an ability, it's an attitude. And if we listen with all our heart, if we focus, all of us already know this. How many times in our own life have we used the phrase, you didn't hear a single thing I said? We're not saying they didn't hear the words. We're saying you did not focus on what I was saying. You didn't benefit from a thing. Didn't you get it? So we sometimes we start, now, listen to me. We have to raise our voice. Like, what are we trying to do? We know there's another train of thought going in that head. And we're trying to get the train of thought on our track. Listen, God is so kind, he does not force his word to dominate us. He brings the good news to us. He speaks to us. But he lets us choose whether we receive it or not. And the way you receive it makes all the difference in the world. And all of us have people in our lives. I want you to take your mind off of what they're doing, what specific things they may be doing, and ask yourself this. Have they received the truth? Do they welcome the good news? Or do they have some personal interest at stake? And they're just not going to follow the news. Let me assure you something. Simply believing that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead and rejecting the rest of the news is not going to save them. Jesus is the good news. It's the good news about what God the Father and Jesus the Son have done from beginning to end. And we need to come to understand. Guess who's supposed to do the preaching? I'm proclaiming the news to you. You know how they used to get the news to everyone who needed to hear? Those who were standing where the town crier was proclaiming the news, they listened to the news, and then what was their job? They were to go back home, and they were to tell the good news to their family. That's your job. And how is your family relating to the news? Have they made it uncomfortable for you? Do they want to hear the news? Mom, what did the pastor talk about in church today? How many of you are asked that? What did y'all learn in church this week? What's the news? They'll turn on the TV. They'll pick up the newspaper. They'll check their phone. Where's the interest in this news? You see what I mean? You see why it's not just an ability? Hearing is an attitude. And that's the attitude that's going to be judged. It'll be judged favorably if we humbled our hearts and responded to the good news of God's grace. And it will not go well for those who've heard it and decided for whatever their personal interest was, not me. I'm not interested. Okay? Clear enough? All right, I hope so.